Welcome back. In this lesson, we're making an old-school VHS rave stab in Ableton Live 12 and turning it into something that feels like a real drum and bass weapon. Not just a nostalgic effect, this sound is all about attitude. It sits in that sweet spot between rave memory, jungle pressure, and dark modern rollers. It should feel crunchy, a little unstable, a little worn out, like it came off an old sampler or a tape machine that has definitely seen some things. But the big point here is musical usefulness. We're not just designing a cool sound, we're designing a stab that can carry a hook, hit a transition, answer the drums, and still leave room for the sub. Before we even touch the synth, let's think like arrangers. Name your track something like VHS Stab so you stay organized, and lay out a simple structure in the arrangement view. Mark out an intro, a build, a drop, and a switch up. That matters because stabs are phrase tools. They work best when they have a job. In drum and bass, you want the sound to function like punctuation, not wallpaper. Set your tempo around 170 to 174 BPM if you want that classic pressure. If you're leaning a bit more halftime or rollers, anywhere from 160 to 170 can still work. Put in a basic drum loop and a rough bass reference first. That way, every sound design choice gets judged in context, which is exactly how it should be in DNB. A stab that sounds huge on its own can totally fail once the kick, snare, and bass are in. Now let's build the core sound. Use wavy-eatable or analog for the source. Start simple and harmonically rich. One oscillator can beat a saw or a square saw blend, and the second oscillator can be another saw to tune slightly, maybe 7 to 12 cents. Keep unison modest, maybe 2 to 4 voices at most. Too much unison and the stab starts to smear instead of punch. For the filter, a low pass is a solid starting point, with moderate resonance. Set the amp envelope to be fast and short. Attack basically at zero. Decay somewhere around 200 to 450 milliseconds, sustain at zero, and a short release. The whole shape should feel like a sharp chord hit, not a pad. Then push the filter envelope so the attack barks a little when it hits. That envelope movement is a huge part of the old-school rave character. For the harmony, don't overcomplicate it. A lot of people think old-school means complex, but usually it's the opposite. Try two or three notes and go for a tense shape instead of a full lush chord. Minor seventh, minor ninth, or a small cluster works really well. If we're in F minor, something like F, a flat, and E flat is a good starting point. You can also double one note an octave up for extra bite. The point is to get that unresolved warehouse tension. That's the attitude. Now write the MIDI like a hook, not a pad. Short notes. Leave space. Think in one bar or two bar phrases. In drum and bass, stabs often work best on the offbeats, like the end of beat 1 or the end of beat 3. That gives you push without stepping on the kick and snare. You can also use call and response. Let the stab fire in one bar, then let the bass answer in the next. Or hit it at the end of a drum fill so it feels like a section change. The sound itself is only half the story. The rhythm is what makes it feel alive. Keep the notes short, maybe around an eighth to a quarter note, so the stab stays percussive. If the chord feels too wide or too polite, simplify it. A lot of the time, less harmony means more impact. This is a good place to remind yourself. The stab is a phrase accent, not a lead synth. If it starts sounding too busy, simplify the MIDI before you add more processing. Now we get into the VHS part. This is where we give it controlled degradation. Put saturator first and drive it a few decibels. Keep soft clip on. Then add redux, but go easy. We want texture, not destruction. A little bit of bit reduction or sample rate reduction can give you that sampler grit. After that, use erosion lightly to add some noisy edge in the midrange. If you want, you can add drum bus very gently too, but keep it subtle. We're trying to suggest old hardware, not turn the sound into a special effect. Our really useful mindset here is to think in contrast pairs. Clean versus crushed. Dry versus wet. Stable versus slightly warped. Short versus smeared. You want to create a clear before and after feeling between different sections. That's usually more effective than endlessly modulating everything all the time. Also, if the sound feels too clean, don't instantly pile on more distortion. Sometimes the better move is to reduce oscillator stability slightly, then recheck the chain. Tiny detune, tiny instability, then shape from there. Next, add auto filter after the distortion chain and automate the cutoff. This is where the stab starts behaving like part of the arrangement instead of just a sample. In the intro, keep it filtered and distant. Maybe start closed and slowly open over several bars. In the build, increase resonance a bit so it gets more vocal and more tense. Then on the drop, snap it open on the first hit. That kind of contrast is huge. It makes the drop feel like it arrives with force, not just volume. You can also automate a quick filter dip right before a hit, then open it up. That little pre-hit tension can feel like a rave sample being pumped through old gear. If you want more movement, a very subtle auto pan or internal wave-eatable modulation can help, but be careful. In drum and bass, the groove has to stay locked. Movement should support the pocket, not blur it. Now let's give it space. Put reverb on a return track and keep it dark and controlled. We want warehouse tail, not dreamy wash. A decay around 1.2 to 2.8 seconds is a good range, with a bit of pre-delay so the stab stays up front. Cut the low end and trim the top so the reverb feels aged and usable. Then set up a delay return as well, and automate sends only on select hits. That's where the real drama lives. One reverb throw before a drop can make the whole section feel bigger, especially if you cut it off as the drums hit dry again. That contrast is one of the strongest tools in this lesson. Wet into dry, smeared into tight, suspended into punchy. If you're arranging a breakdown, a final reverb throw before the drop is a classic move that still works, because it creates anticipation without cluttering the whole phrase. Now we clean it up with EQ8. High pass gently around 100 to 180 Hz so you leave room for the sub and kick. If there's boxy buildup around 250 to 500 Hz, cut some of that out. If the stab needs more bite, a small presence lift around 1.5 to 3 kHz can help. If the VHS texture gets too sharp, tame the 3.5 to 7 kHz range. And remember, if the attack feels too soft, it's often better to tighten the amp envelope or use a little drum bus than to boost EQ aggressively. Always check it at low volume too. That's a great teacher habit. If the stab still reads clearly in the mids when your monitors are quiet, you've probably got something strong. If it disappears, don't just crank it. First try shortening the release, reducing stereo width, shifting the timing a hair earlier, or trimming low mid buildup around the bass movement. Those fixes usually work better than brute force. Now we move into variation. This is where intermediate production really starts to matter. Don't let the stab stay identical for the whole track. Make at least three versions. One for the intro, one for the drop, and one for a switch up or transition. The intro version can be more filtered and more spacious. The drop version can be brighter, drier, and more direct. The switch up version can be more crushed, maybe a bit pitch shifted, maybe with more delay or a reverse tail. A really good trick is to duplicate the MIDI clip and change just one or two notes, or alter velocity, or shorten one note in the second half of an 8-bar phrase. That keeps the identity the same but gives you motion. You can also use velocity-based morphing if you want to get more advanced. Different velocities can open the filter more or shift wave-eatable position a bit, which makes the stab feel played rather than programmed. If you want even more movement, try an alternate inversion in the second half of the section. Move one note up an octave or drop one note down. The listener still recognizes the stab, but it feels like it's developing. That's really important in long DNB sections where repetition can get stale fast. Now make the stab interact with the drums and bass. This is where a lot of people miss the mark. A DNB stab should not exist in isolation. Let it answer the snare. Let it land just after a hit for a push-forward feel. Let it drop out when the kick and sub need space. Then bring it back on the offbeat. If the bassline is busy, keep the stab sparse and use it like punctuation. That's often more powerful than making it constant. If it still feels too huge or too wide, consider narrowing it a bit. Heavy DNB stabs need to stay centered enough to translate well in clubs. A bit of width is fine, but the core should remain solid in mono. If you're using a layered version, keep the main body centered and let only the attack layer spread a little. Once the MIDI and automation feel right, resample the best version to audio. This is a really nice old-school move because it turns the sound into something more sample-like. After that, you can chop it, reverse one hit, create a flam by offsetting a duplicate, or bounce a long reverb tail separately for a breakdown tool. That resampled version can become part of the arrangement language, not just the sound design phase. For a stronger jungle flavor, you can even chop the stab into two-hit phrases and place them around break edits rather than on straight downbeats. That gives the track more sampled energy. And if you want a more industrial or neuro-adjacent edge, a tiny bit of frequency, shifter or rhythmic gating can make the stab feel warped and mechanical without losing the rave identity. Let's finish with a bigger arrangement mindset. Use the stab as an intro teaser if you want. Just one hit every 4 or 8 bars, heavily filtered. In the pre-drop, increase the density slowly so the last hit lands dry and abrupt. In the drop, let one version be dirtier and narrower, then switch to a brighter or wider version in the second section so the listener feels a chapter change. And if you want maximum impact, remove the stab entirely for a bar or two and bring it back with a reverse tail. That kind of silence can hit harder than more notes. So the core lesson is this: build a simple harmonic stab, to grade it tastefully, automate a few meaningful changes, and arrange it with real musical purpose. In drum and bass, the best stabs are not just cool sounds, they are momentum, tension, and release. If you make it short, mid-focused, and rhythmically useful, it becomes part of the track's identity.